Thank you. Let us appreciate Kathy. Good morning. Are you well? Asante ni sana. May I take this opportunity to also welcome those of you who are streaming live at this moment or who might end up watching this sometime in the future on YouTube. I'd like to ask you to please feel welcome if you have an opportunity and this is your very first time to be able to watch us online. And may I ask, please proceed to ask you to please subscribe down here and you'll be able to actually get this summons on a regular basis and even be able to get notifications. For those of you who have subscribed and have been able to do this before we go too far, I would like to ask you to please take an opportunity to be able to listen to Pastor Mnala's sermon, which obviously is appearing on the left, and we can be able to get a very good idea of where we are going. It's good to always be inclusive, and remember that we have other people who join us. I want people to start off by saying that I am going to be talking about a very touchy subject. It has a very adult feature to it. I want to also be able to say the fact that the role of our sex roles in relationships are always very emotive. And so I dare not be able to bring any humanistic ideas. I think at the end of the day, the most critical thing is you to go back to the Bible, because I think the Bible is always the most important place for us to be able to go to. I think also as I talk about this, I'd like to also add the fact that I know that quite a number of us here, especially the ladies, you may be in a place where a lot of hurt and a lot of heartache has been brought about in your life as a result of a man. Again, not to say that I want to apologize on all the men, but just to say that may the Lord be able to grant to you grace and peace to know that ultimately that was not his plan from the very beginning. He has a very good plan for how relationships are supposed to be worked out. Then I also want to be acutely aware of the fact that we have a very big demographic here. And one of the biggest demographics that we have here is that we are 65% single young adults. So I hope that in one way or another, for all the men who are here, you can have almost a recalibration and a reorientation of your compass so that you can be able to know how are you supposed to be able to love a woman or how you're supposed to be able to relate with a woman in your life in a way that is going to be honoring. If you have your Bible, may I ask you to please turn to Ephesians chapter 5. If you have your Bible, please turn to Ephesians chapter 5. If I had an opportunity, I would have loved to read from verse 1 because it gives a very good context of where we're going to be starting to read from, and that is from verse 21. But generally, the whole book of Ephesians, or rather the second part of Ephesians, is talking about how we are supposed to be able to actualize the gospel in community. Ephesians chapter 5 from verse 21, the Bible says, "Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church, and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle, or any other blemish, but holy and blameless." Verse 28, "In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but they feed and care for their body, just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband." Countless songs have been sung in regard to matters of love. Men all over the world, plus women, have done incredibly brilliant things and also incredibly foolish things in equal measure because of love. No wonder somebody has actually asked, "What's love got to do with it?" Or as some have been now gone on to ask, "What is the color of love?" Today, I will seek to answer one question: what's love got to do with it? And from the onset, I would like people to say that the mandate for all men is to love. That's the role of husband, and that's the role of a husband or any man who wants to come into a relationship is to love their wife. And I will be using the word wife here because I'm looking towards a more a futuristic space. So if you're single, just look at this as I giving you a what? A picture of how things ought to be into the future. And I want people to say that one of the things that you discover about relationships that you're always growing. Today, I wore a tie that I first bought in August of 2001. You can definitely tell that by as time has gone by, ties have become a little bit slimmer. Back then, I think you needed the air conditioning was not too much, so you needed to wipe yourself. But this is my wedding tie. And over time, it has it's frayed a little bit on the sides, but it is one of my very precious things because it's one of the things that still remains from my wedding. Alison, does anything still remain on your side? The context of Ephesians 5:22-33 is the gospel being actualized in the context of community. And the family series which we are in at this moment is currently and ultimately anchored in the context of making Jesus known. That is the reason why we are doing a family series. Because ultimately, the gospel always points us to Jesus. And so even in our relationships, ultimately that is the goal. Family exists in order to be able to allow people to be able to know God. And Ephesians chapter 5 verse 1 to 2 says this, "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us, and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God." So ultimately, we are supposed to be imitators of God, and our lives are supposed to be lived sacrificially. So in any relationship, a sacrifice and being able to give yourself to the other person is key. This week, in preparation of this sermon, I talked to many different people in different contexts as I sought to view their views on the role of a man in a relationship. The men and women gave me varied answers, but a certain pattern did emerge. And what was it? Most men saw themselves as providers and leaders in their homes, while women preferred the men to play the role of partner, the role of confidant, and this part that made quite a number of ladies go, oh, was best friend. I want my man to be what? My best friend. And when I look at them all, I realize that in a roundabout way, they're actually talking about the same things. They're talking about love because you lead something that you love. You take care of something that you love. And ultimately, somebody whom you love and somebody whom you care about is your confidant, is your best friend, and ultimately is your companion. Well, I would like to say that women in all functional relationships want to be loved. One writer actually says this, "For a woman to be fully seen by somebody and then be loved anyhow is a human offering that can border on the miraculous." So if you're a man, may I ask you to be able to note that very carefully. That for a woman to be fully seen by somebody and be loved anyhow is a human offering that can border on the miraculous. That a woman just wants to be loved for who she is. Women connect so much with love because God has placed a need and a sense of love within them. And I think most of us men are not able to fully connect with that whole aspect. And maybe it takes the Holy Spirit and it takes God to be able to reveal that to us. That love is a very important component in a woman's life. Thus, a man's role is to exemplify God's love to a woman and in the process, reenact the same love that Jesus had for the church, even dying on the cross for it. That is the situation. But then we have a problem. And what is the problem? Misunderstandings on how to execute our roles in a relationship is one of our biggest reasons why conflict and bitterness exist in the family today. Conflict, inner tensions, and arguments occur because of expectations that arise as a result of unknown assumptions or expectations between a man and a woman that are informed by our cultural backgrounds, our contemporary context, or maybe what we are taught among by our friends and our peers. And so we need to be able to ask ourselves, how is this going to be? And for the millennials, at least I thank God I'm a pre-millennial, but yours gets even more compounded because nowadays, even the traditional roles have completely been jumbled up. Men and women are competing for the same job opportunities. Men and women are competing in the same places of business. And sometimes women are beating men 10-0. And so in that kind of a context, sometimes it's very easy for you to feel lost and ask yourself, how am I as a man going to be able to function in this new environment and in this new space? The critical thing is this. Do not despair. The Word of God is able to give us a very good blueprint on how we are going to be able to go forward. You see, since the family is the smallest unit of a community, God is concerned about its well-being. How we raise a family greatly impacts a society. How we play our roles in the home will impact the final result of the gospel and God's plan for the world. So next time you go to work, next time you are busy in the kitchen, next time you are thinking about your family, ultimately recognize that in the grand scheme of things, the gospel of Jesus Christ goes forth because God is very concerned. The thing is this, how then do many of us interpret relationships? And basically, we have two kinds of ways in which many people interpret relationships or relate with each other. We have what you call the super liberal couple. The super liberal couple do not like labels. So they don't like terms like husband and wife. So what do? The woman may want to have so what happens is this. They want to be fulfilled. So the husband and wife will want to be fulfilled, have a career, have a business, and be able to be defined by more than just having a family. The woman may want to have a freedom to do what she wants to do, spend as much time away from home. And the man, as it is becoming more and more common nowadays, may even want to be a stay-home dad and take care of the children, where there's nothing wrong with that. It's just that people don't want what? They don't want labels. If you're able to work today, it's okay. If you want to be at home, it's okay. There's ultimately no labels. We are in this together. The problem with this is that at the very beginning, and one of the things, let me backtrack a little bit. Many times whenever a relationship collapses, people will always say, our relationship collapsed because of irreconcilable differences. You've heard that, huh? But I want you to say the following. Did you know that from the very beginning, marriage actually starts with an irreconcilable difference? I mean, think about it. Alfred, you're a man. That's what happens. You cannot be a woman. And your good wife is a woman. She can never be a what? A man. And so from the very beginning, our relationships are irreconcilable from the very beginning. And so we need to be able to come into that space and recognize and know that, you know what? There's something a little bit deeper about this relationship than I could ever think about. So when we deny our roles or when we deny our creative roles within ourselves, what happens? We are filled with a silent war between ourselves. We pretend to be happy, but we are both guilty and distressed. The other kind of relationship is what I call the 50-50 couple. And maybe this is where a majority of us may find ourselves in. In this case, the husband and wife try really hard to have a good marriage. They live by the 50-50 rule. You bring your 50, I bring my 50, we meet in the middle. To create what? 100%. And from a humanistic point of view, it seems to make a lot of sense. But you see, from the outside, everything seems well, but underneath, several trouble spots begin to gnaw at you. Why? Because you'll always be looking out for, did you bring your 50? If you don't bring your 50 and you brought 40, I'm also going to bring only 40, and the void in between becomes a place where people fall into. Rather, a good friend of mine told me, how about being able to approach marriage from a place whereby you bring 100%, and the other and your partner brings 100%. And then guess what we end up having? 100 plus 100 gives us 100. That is the mathematics of marriage. That you always bring everything that you can without expecting your spouse to bring in another. But what you do, you bring in 100 and 100 so that both of you can be able to go forward and be happy together. Because what happens in many instances, when we live in 50-50, deep down, we become bitter because our other spouse is not doing their part in fulfilling their own expectation. Our relationships may seem to work, but it is tense, and in most cases, it is not joyful. But then we have what we call a biblical model. The husband and the wife love to be married. They love to be together. They have differences of opinion, and that is expected. But they work together the problems that they may have before the Lord, and most importantly, they learn to subject to before each other, the husband to her wife, to his wife, and the wife to her husband, and the Lord is in between there. This is the ideal, but sadly, it is an exception rather than the rule. So what are we supposed to be able to do in this? And that's the question, what's love got to do with it? I wanted to be able to say that from the very onset, the number one rule, those of you are writing notes, one is that the husband must love his wife. That is the critical thing. My fellow men, in any relationship, love is a woman's oxygen. It is her greatest need. The main responsibility for the man is summed up in four words, Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives. You see, husbands hold the key to a flourishing marriage. Men have to be the initiators of love. The wife comes into full fruition and submission in response to the husband's loving her as he should. And on this juncture, I'd like to introduce you to something that I got to learn a little bit later, which is called love language. Learn to know what is the language of your spouse, and especially for the men. Because many a times, guys, you'll travel probably far, and you come home and you brought probably your wife some Jimmy Choo's, which are really off the hook. And then what happens is that 2 weeks later, they're still in the box. Probably Jimmy Choo's are not her thing. Maybe she wanted a shop in town to be able to sell mobile phone batteries and something like that. Maybe that's what gives her fulfillment. Maybe it is being able to bring some flowers, and you always bring like a quarter every day because that is what you saw your father doing. And he said, you know, I've always bought meat in this house every single day. Why am I not appreciated? Learn to love, or actually, learn the language of your spouse. It is very, very important. You see, I can be able to speak, I can speak my native language and say a lot of wonderful things to you. But if you don't come from my native language, ultimately, I can even think, you might actually think, I am saying some very nasty things about you. Find out what she likes and how she likes it. Have eyeball to eyeball moments with her. And for those of you who are dating or contemplating to date, or the young men in the house, take this advice from an older man. Next time you go on a date, don't talk about yourself. Find out about the person. So what do you like? So high school. You know, the women want to be able to feel that you have connected with them, that you actually are able to find out what it is they like. And you come back and tell me, Percy, man, your advice was perfect. So, how are we to love our wives? Love as Jesus loves, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. How did Christ demonstrate his love? Primarily by his example and his death. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And those of you who may be watching this, and may I ask you to just pause ever so slightly, quickly dash out, buy your wife some flowers. You never know. That could basically change your relationship even as you go forward. Then when you come back, continue with play. As a result of Jesus' selfless love, the church loves Jesus and submits to him. We love him because he first loved us. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. And in the same way, the wife sees the love of her husband and submits to him. She submits because she feels safe and secure in her husband's love. But this cannot be our goal. Our goal as husbands must be to fulfill God's command to us and leave our wife's reaction up to him. So love without expecting your wife to submit to you. But generally speaking, I can guarantee you 99% of the time, if you love, she will submit to you. Secondly, be willing to lay down your life. Be willing to lay down your life. To love as Christ loved and laid down your life means that you must focus on your partner's needs and not your own. Oh, Anto, I think I should be good. I know there's all that scratching, but let me just hold on to it. If it becomes a nuisance, I will change. Thank you. That's Anto. He really serves us very well. Let us appreciate Anto even at this moment. You see, to love as Christ loved is to lay down your life. It means you must focus on your partner's needs and not your own. Philippians chapter 2 verse 3 says, they tell us to do nothing out of selfish ambition. Remember Jesus Christ, the Son of Man. For the Son of Man did not come to serve, to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And think of this in terms of every aspect of your life. Now, one of the reasons why I asked that we don't have children in the sanctuary is because even in the most intimate of things, it has been said this, that men are like microwaves, but women are like electric ovens. Now, we need to be, as men, considerate. That sometimes some things will happen a little bit quickly for us. And so it is important that we are considerate even in the very intimate of things. So as we start on the outside in terms of being able to remember to buy flowers and sometimes being able to take your wife out, but even when it comes to the sanctity of marriage, the most intimate bit of it all, we need to be able to know that we ought to be able to be ready to lay down our lives. Lay down our life is not just about, it's not just a sacrifice for the sake of sacrificing, but it's also a sign of authority. The Bible says Jesus made himself of no reputation. And the literal translation in Philippians 2:7 says he emptied himself. And when he emptied himself, what happened? He gained authority. Authority to be able to tell his disciples anything. I want to say this. Some of the most powerful people in the world wear power very lightly. Power does not define them. Rather, they define power. It's like old money and new money. People with real money and power can be some of the most unassuming people in the world. You probably have noticed that. But they can be very calm and kawaida. And the same thing I want to be able to say about us and our relationship, that when you lead and you lay down your life for your wife, you'll be surprised at how she will just follow you in many, many things. And even in some of your decisions, you'll just find that she'll actually be able to say, yes, I think that's an excellent thing. Why? Because she feels safe in that relationship. So there's a call to love. There's a call to lay down your life. And thirdly, there is actually a call to love unconditionally. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 25 says this, love as Christ loved the church. I love watching movies. And some time ago, I watched a romantic movie, Notting Hill, starring Hugh Grant and Julia Roberts. Julia Roberts stars as a world-famous actress called Anna Scott. She's in London to promote her new film. And in the process, falls in love with a very normal, everyday bloke called William Thacker. Towards the end of the movie, William feels that Anna is way out of her league. She lives in Beverly Hills. He lives in Notting Hill. And he is looking for a way to break up the relationship. But then Anna says some very interesting words, some of the most romantic words I've ever heard. What does he say? Don't forget, I am also just a girl standing in front of a boy asking him to love her. See, that's what women are at the end of the day. Just girls looking to be loved. And loved for who they are. Loved and edited. You see, the fact of the matter is that many wives and women are not sure if the men in their lives love them at all. All women want to be loved and edited. Women want to be loved with what you call an agape kind of love. You see, for us as men, as my good friend tells me, we spell sometimes intimacy as S-E-X. Instead of actually being able to see as women the way they spelled as T-A-L-K, talk. And so we focus on what we refer to as eros, from which you get the word erotic. But eros is just an initial love that attracts a man and a woman together. This sexual love plays an important role in marriage, building intimacy and closeness, but it is not everything. But I do not want to trivialize this. I want to say this. Proverbs chapter 5 verse 15 and 17 to 18 says, drink water from your own cisterns and running water from your own wells. Let them only be your own and not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth. What are we being called upon here? Pastor Muna tends to do this much, much better than myself. That we are called upon to be able to love our wives sexually. But that is not it. Do you want it to be even better as men? Well, I have a major secret. How about being able to learn about a love called agape? Agape love is on a spiritual level. It contrasts with eros. Agape springs from a sense of preciousness of the object. Agape is primarily determined by the character of the one who loves, not necessarily the lovability of the one who is loved. It is not feeling an emotion. It is unconditional. It's a kind of love that God commands us as husbands to love with. You see, the word love is always object-oriented. A person is loved because of physical attractiveness, personality, wit, prestige, or some feature or trait that we may find appealing. This type of love is fickle. However, once we find that we can be able to love our women with an agape kind of love, something changes. They are free. They are able to connect with us in ways and means we never thought possible. Our love for our women is to be agape form of love, since it's the kind of love that Christ displays towards the church. John MacArthur says, loving as Christ does not depend least in what others are in themselves, but entirely on what they are in Christ. And I have a very good mentor who told me something some time ago. And he told me, Isaac, you know what? When the lights tend to be dimmed and they are off, generally, the topography of the land is generally the same. Yeah, you kind of click what I'm saying a little bit later. But what is going to be able to make you find it a little bit, what is going to make you have a more fulfilling relationship? It is by being able to connect with somebody at a spiritual, at a place whereby you are able to know the person much, much deeper than you could ever be, never, ever know them. Because that is generally the nature of a relationship. I was a teacher and object lessons are always good. You see, my tie, over time, is frayed. But there's something about this tie which is very important for me. I wore it on my wedding day. Am I going to discard it? Probably not, because it has a very special sentimental value to me. Because it represents a day when I can say my life changed quite a bit. And in a sense, when you are in a relationship with your wife, with your spouse, what happens is this. You have a history that is so deep, that has gone ups and downs in there. You can actually be able to tell the different scars that are there on her body and say, you know what, I know where this scar came from. It is from the children that you have been able to bear me. I can be able to tell the gray hair. Probably it's because of some of the stress that I've caused you. But you know what? At the end of it all, you still are mine. We can be able to live together. I love you with an agape love. If a loving husband is willing to sacrifice his life for his wife, he is certainly willing to make lesser sacrifices for her. He puts his own likes, desires, opinions, preferences, and welfare aside. And if that is required, you know, to please her. You know, one of the major goofs I ever made when I was dating my wife, Alison, was one day I happened to have taken her out to Jacaranda Hotel. It was a Thursday, and I remember they were having Italian night. I don't feel too much for pasta, but my wife loves pasta. Well, she didn't tell me back then that she really loved pasta. But so what happened, when I looked at the pasta, I basically quickly guided her away from the pasta to the other buffet, which I was more accustomed to. Let me just say, much, much later, I was to learn that she really loves pasta, and I was like, oh. Then I missed a big opportunity to earn some serious bonga points at that time. But the Lord is good. She still married me. So there comes a time when we have to be sacrificial. You may not like certain things, but because it's your wife, what do? You go along and you actually work hard at enjoying yourself in that activity, regardless of how disconnected you may feel with it at times. But you know what? Over time, you actually get to learn to really enjoy it. But finally, and very crucial, number four, a husband must spiritually lead. This actually is the pinnacle of all this loving. What's love got to do with it? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, 26. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her by cleansing her and by washing her of water with the word. The purpose of all this loving is finally to point the woman to Christ so that she too may be a partaker of eternal life. You see, Adam's biggest mistake was not to protect his wife from the wiles of the devil. And so when God comes into the garden, it's interesting, he doesn't go after Eve. He goes after who? After Adam. And so for each and every son of Adam that is represented in this auditorium today, the call is still the same. That our call is always to be able to help our spouses and our wives be able to come to a place whereby they can be connected with God. Too often, we are passive, or at worst, we are actually a hindrance towards the spiritual growth of our spouses and our families. As a Christian man, my first priority must be to make sure that my wife is properly aligned with God, and I should recognize that her personal happiness as a woman, as a wife, as a mother, all hinge upon her relationship with the Lord. I can't say that it is a problem. No. I, as a husband, need to be a spiritual leader in the home. And because in the process, my wife is actually going to be sanctified. So, for those of you who are dating, also, take a step by actually having a date where you actually have a Bible study. Not just about going for a movie or something. No. Have opportunities where you can actually be able to have an eyeball-to-eyeball moment of being able to connect at a spiritual level. I couldn't say it better than what John MacArthur says. Men, if you love a woman, you will do everything in your power to maintain her holiness, her virtue, her righteousness, her purity. Every day you live, you'll never put her in a compromising situation where she would become angered, because that is a sin. You should never induce an argument out of her, because that is a sin. You would do nothing to defile her. You would never let her see anything or expose her to anything or let her indulge in anything that would in any way bring impurity into her life. Love always seeks to purify. And that is our call. So may I ask you from today to be the person that actually starts even to pray in your home. Let us not relegate it to our wives. Can you be the person that actually is able to lead in a form of Bible study? Baby steps. And before long, you'll actually find yourself to have really grown and developed. Our time is far much gone. We need to be able to close. I close with the words of Ephesians 31. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined with his wife. The key to a healthy marriage and open communication goes back to the principle of living and cleaving. You must cherish and honor that friendship. Gentlemen, what I've said here is not possible from a human point of view. It is only possible if you have a connection with Jesus Christ. Ultimately, there's no way, Ozzy, you're going to be able to love Mary in any way if you're not connected with who? With God. It's very, very critical. And so, it's not able to say that this is mission impossible, because actually it is mission impossible from a human point of view. We are too selfish. We are too inbuilt in ourselves. We think about self-preservation. But if we are able to connect with God, things change and things are different. And so to the gentlemen who may be watching this and to all of us who are here, may I ask us to please, as men only, to please stand at this moment. I want to pray with you men and myself included, because this is a call for us. And this is a submission in a sense to say, there's no way what Pastor Isaac has said, I can be able to do it by myself. But with God ahead of me, I can do this. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, I praise you for the men that are standing in this sanctuary at this moment. And I pray, my Father and my God, that you'd grant to us courage. Courage to love as you love. But most of all, grant to us an opportunity, first of all, to be connected with you. My Father and my God, some of us may feel that we're really far from you. But I thank you, Lord, because all you want from us is a sense of humility, a sense of being able to throw ourselves towards you and to say, Lord, would you help me in this situation. There is no way I can love sacrificially. There is no way I can love unconditionally. Spiritual loving is so far from me, I don't even know how to do it. But with you, I come before you because you can be able to help me to love my wife, to love my spouse. And those who are dating, may the Lord help you to be pure in every aspect of your dating. And even as you look for a girlfriend, would you be able to have a vision of the future in which it is a good future, in which you can be able to say, I led my wife well, and I led her in the ways that ought to be. For it is in Jesus' name we do pray and believe. Amen. Kathy, please come and pray for us so that you can go.